But to start this, you know, why do we study the Word? The Word teaches us about God. It teaches us about His Son, Jesus Christ. And it teaches us what we have, what God has done for us. And we know that there are two elements in our lives that are extremely important. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. To really understand the Word of God, you have to have the Spirit of God working in you, but you also have to understand how the Word works. And a lot of people don't get that. I remember asking, you all know who Reverend Cummins is, Walter Cummins, and you know he's a great student of the Greek language and has had opportunities to study manuscripts and stuff that I would never even dream of doing. And I asked him, how come these great scholars and Greek guys and all these different guys, how come they don't believe what we believe? And he said, well, there's two things. Number one, they don't believe that the Word of God is the will of God. And number two, they don't understand the keys to how the Word interprets itself. They look at it and they analyze it. We start out believing that the Word is true, and then where it seems to contradict itself or be inconsistencies, we work it to see why it really actually fits together. So we do it inductively as opposed to analytically. What does that all have to do with anything? Well, anyway, but we study the Word, we have confidence in the Word, so that we believe the Word, so that when God speaks to us or works in us, we can believe Him. You know, the Word is not more important than Holy Spirit within us, and the Holy Spirit certainly is our connection with God. They're both equally important. You can't downplay one or the other. You need to have both. And in manifestations today, it says some great things about the Word. We're going to look at something that I learned and many of you learned years ago. We're going to look at some usages of the word all. Now, when I first learned the word, or started to learn the word, you never finish learning the word. One of the things I was taught was, when you see the word all, it's either all without exception or all with distinction. Now, that would also include the word every, because sometimes the same Greek word is translated every or all, or they can mean the same thing. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 3, verse 21. It says, now, you know, the beginning of Romans has to do with chapters 1 and 2 have a lot to do with natural man. Verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith or believing of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So in verse 21, it says the righteousness or justice of God, and it's established, you know, that's the standard that God establishes, the standard for justice or righteousness. It's not man's standard that counts, it's God's standard. So, you know, you see all the stuff going on in the world and they'll say, oh, this is so terrible or this is so great. Well, you really have to look at what God says about it to understand whether it really is great or really not great. Because He's the standard for truth. He's the standard for righteousness or justice. Then in verse 22, it says, for even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, which means comes to us by faith or believing of Jesus Christ. In his working translation, Walter Cummins writes, the justice of God is revealed in the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ from the foundation upon which believing rests because of the believing of Jesus Christ to all who believe regarding him. See? So everything we believe is based, or our believing is based on Jesus Christ and what he did for us, right? He believed God to the ultimate, perfectly. And so that's what our foundation, remember, it says that he's the cornerstone or the chief cornerstone. And that's what we believe on. That's our foundation. And we learn about that in the word. So it says here, it's unto all and upon all them that believe. All is who? All those that believe. So that makes a distinction, doesn't it? To all that believe, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. It's to all that believe. So if you hold your place there and go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, it's talking about the body of Christ and the believer putting on the new man. New man is, you know, that new body of Christ, Jew and Gentile. And then it says in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. We heard that in manifestations, right? Christ is all and in all. All who? All those that believe. And he's all to us. Everything that we have is by way of Jesus Christ. Back to Romans. So then it says in verse 23, or verse, yeah, let's see. Let's read verse 22 again. Even the righteousness or justice of God, which is by faith or believing concerning Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Greek or a bond or a free or Scythian or man or woman or Chinese or whatever. Doesn't matter. All that believe. For all, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? Who's the all there? All men, without exception. Everybody that's ever been born has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only way that you can overcome that is by believing in Jesus Christ, believing that God raised him from the dead. So it says in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, or that's a complicated word, but it means the payment. God paid the price for us. Through believing in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God got rid of all our sins, all our sin nature. So even though we were born and we came short of the glory of God, God overcame that by his son, Jesus Christ, and we overcome it by believing. And so we are freely given remission of sins. We're made righteous freely. Then it says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You know, him that believes in Jesus, and you know, Jesus here is, you go back into context, it's Jesus Christ, obviously. So what a great thing. Of him which believeth. God is just, and he justifies those that believe. What a great thing. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Because there's a great understanding here. It says to them that believe. And one great thing about God is God's no respecter of persons. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, when Peter went to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, a centurion, previous to this, only Israelites or Judeans or Jews were Christians. And then all of a sudden, God sends Peter to Cornelius's house and they believe. And in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. You know, and we read that in Colossians, right? That There's no difference. There's no difference to people. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. There's no difference between people that believe. It says in chapter 2 of Romans, verse 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. So, what a great thing. What God does respect is believing. And when you believe, then he has a different relationship with you, right? All men are born in sin and come short of the glory of God, and they will continue to sin. When you believe in Jesus Christ and are born again, you are cleansed of all sin. So then the all is all believers as opposed to all men, all humankind, all people. Let's go to 1 Timothy. You know, we grow up learning or believing. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. One of the principles that our country was based upon was all men are created equal. And that's true. All men are born sinners. All men are born sinners and come short of the glory of God, and all are in danger of eternal death. So God is no respecter of persons. And it doesn't matter the works that they do, does it? It doesn't matter how nice they look or how kind they appear or whatever they do. Got a thing on here. Okay. So God is no respecter in person. In that respect. But when we believe, we are all created equal because we all are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We all receive the same measure of the gift of Holy Spirit, and we are all called according to his will and purpose. So then we are all equal before God because we're created equal because we have Holy Spirit created in us. Not what people think, right? You know, because obviously we are not all equal in our physicality, right? Some people are taller, some are shorter, some are thinner, some are fatter. Some people have athletic ability, some people have none, some people have music ability, some people have none, some people have artistic abilities. We're obviously not all equal. You know that term well. This is America, and you can become whatever you want to become. It's really not true. You know, I want to become a brain surgeon. Sure, go ahead. Would you let me operate on your brain? No, because I don't have the training, nor do I have the intelligence or the training, right? You can't, but you can become whatever you can become according to your abilities, right? According to what you can do. If you work hard, you can succeed. That's a big difference between becoming whatever you want to become, you know? So it's an interesting thing to think about. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. It says for kings, it says, okay, we're going to read. Yeah, it says, we're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, that's what we're to pray for. And we can live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And, you know, it says in Romans, I believe, that we are to live peaceably as much as possible with everyone. You know, we don't want division in, you know, now, we believe the Bible, and we believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe in the integrity of the Bible. So from our point of view, everything else has to be wrong, right? That would be a mathematical maxim or axiom. If I believe something is correct, then everything else has to be wrong. Not that I dislike people or think any less of them, but it's just wrong, right? If it doesn't agree with God's word, right, to me, it's wrong. Now, if somebody's a Muslim and they really believe in it, then to them, I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But what's the determining factor? What God says. So I believe God's word is God's will. How about that? Then it says in verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. All is who?
All of us.
Everybody. Everybody. Everybody that's ever drew a breath on the face of the earth, God would want them to be saved. Will everybody believe? No, they won't. Unfortunately, God's desire is that everybody, without exception, no qualifiers, should be saved. Then it says in verse 5, well, and that says, all and come unto a knowledge of the truth, you know, because being saved is great, but you have to have a knowledge of the truth to walk with the power of God in your life, to have that spirit and understand that spirit and have that confidence to go before that throne of grace and ask God for help and everything else. And then it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus himself in the gospel said, there's only one way to God, and that's by me. You know, what did we learn? Is that there are many roads to Chicago? And there probably are. You know, all roads lead to Rome, but there's only one road that leads to God. There's only one way to get to God. It's not by good works. It's not by religious rituals or ceremonies. It's by believing in Jesus Christ. There's only one way to God, and there's only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all men. You know, whether a Hindu or a Buddhist or anybody else believes in Jesus Christ or not, God, Jesus Christ still died for those guys, didn't he?
Yep.
Whether they appreciate it or ever believe it or not, you know, that's on them. But he gave his life for all. So man makes himself the exception by not believing. You know, all men are not created equal, but we as believers are created equal. The only thing that man has that's equal is sin nature and condemnation to death unless they decide to believe. So that's on them, though. That's not on us. We, the only thing we can do is tell people the truth and exhort them to believe. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. So we learn these things. We learn all this stuff in the Word of God so we can believe God, so we can trust God, so we can rely on him, so that we can walk according to the Spirit, so that when he speaks to us, we know that it's him speaking to us. That when he tells us to do something, we know that it's him telling us to do it. In Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things that are spiritual things, God says, pertain to us. All things work to the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All spiritual things that pertain to us do not pertain to Joe Blow, unbeliever. Just has to do with us, and has to do with the context of what it's talking about. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate or foreordain to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What a great thing. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And there all pertains to who? Us. Usins. Those that are born again. Those that it's written to. Shall he not with him freely, him also freely give us all things? All things what? All things that he's promised us. All things that he said he would give us. He'll give it to us freely. He's, what did we get? We got Holy Spirit freely. We got righteousness freely. We got sanctification freely, right? We got sonship freely. We got the inheritance freely. All those things. Let's go to Ephesians. You know, if you go back in the Old Testament, it talks and it says all. Again, you have to read the context. It could be all referring to Israel. It could be all referring to, for instance, God singles out the Levites, you know, and so, you know, he's talking about them. Or it could be all mankind, right? You have to look and you have to read and you have to understand what he's talking about. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That would be us, right? Faithful in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. All spiritual blessings. Who is it given to? Us. And how many spiritual blessings?
All.
All that he's made available. All that he has said. Now, do we know them all? I don't know. I don't think so. I know that he makes other promises how he's going to show the exceeding greatness of his kindness to us in the ages to come. I guess that includes a lot of blessings. I don't, according to how the word is used. In verse 10, it says that in the dispensation or administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. All things that are Christ's, which would be all believers and, you know, all the angels and everything else that's going to be with him, that's under his dominion, because everything's under Jesus Christ, right? Except for God. Everything. So let's go to the verse 20. It says, speaking of power that we have from God, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality. Principality would mean rulers and power or authority, all might or power and all dominion, all lordships, and every name, which would be all names, right? Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. All, right? So Jesus Christ is over all. Doesn't matter what it is, power, dominion, authority, principality, on heaven or on earth, Jesus Christ is over them all. What a great thing. And it says here that God hath put all things, all these things, all this that he's speaking about under his feet, under the feet of Jesus Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. And that's us. But we're not under his feet because we're part of the body. All the other stuff is under his feet. That means it's under us too. That's why we can walk with God's authority and power in this world. That's why we study the word, to have confidence in what it says, that it says we are here. He has power over all things. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. It says that every knee must bow at the name of Jesus Christ, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And who's the all talking about? All those that believe, us. It fills all in all. And let's go to Colossians chapter 2. He's the head of all things. You know, and the working translation, Walter Cummins translates that, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things in all people. So then we go to chapter 2, verse 10, and it says, ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We're complete in Jesus Christ. We have everything that there is to get. He has given us everything that we can possibly have. And it's for us, you know, and he is the head of all principality and power, you know, and we're with him, and he's the head of all, and he's our head. See, but we have all that God gave, and each one of us has the same amount. There's no difference. We all have all. What a great thing. Nobody's lacking anything. Nobody's less of a believer in the sense of spiritually what God has endowed them with, God's desire for them to be blessed, God's desire for them to walk with power and authority. Nobody's less in any way than anybody else. You know, God gave us all the same amount. He's given us all the same opportunities, all the same. So we are created equal, right? Mm-hmm. And we can be whatever we want to be. As far as God's concerned, we can go as far with God and as fast with God as we desire, as we believe to. It's up to us. But God did it all for us. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for blessing us, for what a great and beautiful God you are, how you are no respecter of persons. But when you called us out and you gave us your Holy Spirit, each and every one of us, we got the same amount. We are the same in your eyes. We're all beautiful in your sight. We're all perfect and